A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Redwood Road.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you for this abbreviated version. Yes, the BYU football game is early again today, and that means we will begin our pregame coverage beginning at 10 o'clock. So get your calls in now. Get your questions in right now. Let's go to Adrian, who's in St. George. Good morning, Adrian. You want to talk about black walnut disease this morning?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Thank goodness for Alexa, because I can listen to you right here sitting in the sunshine down in St. George
awesome.
Today. So thank goodness. But anyway, right back to the black walnut. When we were up in Utah County, I noticed a lot of my friends there had a lot of dying. The whole trees have died, and half of the trees, and I think I mentioned to Ton earlier, is this spread going on now? Is it getting worse? Or have we found out what it is and how to do anything about it?
Adrian, there's a couple different things going, I believe. One, the last 2 years we've had really hard frosts in early October.
Okay.
That we had probably a third to half the black walnuts and walnuts in general, at least along the Wasatch Front and up in the Cache Valley. The canopy of the upper two-thirds of the canopy of a tree was dead, and then you had a lot of new growth around the lower third that was regenerating because of the dead limbs. And lot of situations, those trees didn't have what was the thousand cankers disease in them, the fungal disease that causes the underneath the bark to go black. But we're also seeing an uptick in thousand cankers, especially in black walnut, somewhat in the Carpathian or English walnuts. But once thousand cankers is inside of a tree, the tree is done. There's really nothing that can be done.
Well, so this guy had about a 40-plus-year-old tree, and the whole top died, and he was so sad. It was a major part of the shade for his whole house, and he's just wondering. And it is starting to grow back, as you mentioned, back from down closer to the trunk. And he's getting some new branches this year, but it doesn't look like it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, so the branches, next spring, if they don't leaf out, I would cut them out. And you might have wood for turning on a lathe or, you know, lots of different things. That black walnut's beautiful. But,
worst comes
to worst, you've got some really nice firewood.
Thank you. That last quick question is that I've been growing tomatoes up there in Tooele area, and we got a Roma tomato called a super sauce. I think I talked to you about this.
Yeah, you texted me some pictures of it.
Okay, have you heard any more about it? Is it have you know anybody that's grown it or had any luck with it?
It's out there, but no. I showed some pictures to one of the horticulturists who works part time in our office, and give a shout out to Liz, but she may have that variety. But it's one that I know you were really happy with.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe the size. And it had all the qualities of tomato. And it was very durable and very great. We canned, so many. I think we had over 100 pounds of super sauce tomatoes this year that we actually canned with various kind of sauces. But anyway, just a little shout out for the super sauce Roma tomato.
All right. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks for your call this morning, Adrian.
So Adrian's a retired extension agent out of Tooele County.
Awesome.
Or lives in Tooele, but out of Utah County. Very fabulous gardener and horticulturist and fruit tree expert. So
thanks for listening.
He tries to masquerade as a caller, but he's a very skilled horticulturist.
Oh, let's go to our next listener who says, is it too late and too cold to use Q4 Plus to kill bindweed?
The one above that for the 2,4-D relates, no, it's not. As long as the bindweed is still green, we're going to be in the 60s for the next several days. And as long as you apply so that you have dry weather for a 24-hour period, it's a perfect time to get either product on.
All right, let's go to Steve in Springville. Good morning, Steve. How can we help you?
Hey, good morning. I'm wondering, is it too late to plant perennials for the greenhouse? When will it be too late? And what precautions can I take to make sure they survive the frost and the freezing of winter after I plant them.
I'm always a little cautious, but you can do it. What I would recommend doing is composting after those perennials go brown, putting some compost or some mulch over the top of them, making sure it's a well-drained time. You don't want something that's going to hold a lot of water. You're trying to protect the ground from freezing. And then when the snow melts off next year or sometime in mid-March of next year, rake it off and let the plant sprout as normal.
How deep does that mulch need to be?
A couple inches.
A couple inches is good.
Yeah.
And it can just be regular, any kind of mulch. It can be leaves.
Bark. If I'm a little cautious with leaves. Bark would be better. Or something, a coarse compost that's going to allow water to drain through, because you don't want to waterlog the perennial.
And how often should I water those after I get them in the ground?
If the ground's moist, you don't, because the ground's moist. We're going to be cool enough. Let's say we're supposed to get rain, I think, Monday, Tuesday of next week, but otherwise we're in the 60s. So, if we went 2 or 3 weeks without any rain, then you might take a gallon of water and pour it around there. But when the temperatures are in the 60s, there's really very little need to water.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Steve, thanks so much for listening. Next caller, Ton, says, can they use shavings from their chicken coop in their garden, and is it helpful or harmful?
I wouldn't do a lot of them. It's better to put them down in the fall. And so maybe an inch, and then you till them in or work them into the soil. And what will happen is you'll have all winter for those to break down and any salt in there to leach through the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put them down at other times, I wouldn't use more than about a quarter of an inch at a time monthly, just so that you don't overwhelm the soil with salt.
Next person wants to know, they need to dig up roses that are 10 plus years old and replant them in the same area. How do they prepare the transplant cutting or the roots?
Well, I honestly would have been best prepared through the summer.
Okay.
So what they would have done is gone in with a shovel and, drawing a circle around the base of the plant and going out maybe 6 inches on a third of the plant, severed the roots with a shovel. Just go straight down and leave the other two-thirds of the roots intact. And what would happen are those roots where you severed would regenerate right around the base of the rose. And you would go out in the fall and go out 6 or 8 inches from where you severed, dig a trench, and then just dig the roses up and move them.
So should they wait till spring now?
No, it wouldn't do any good because it won't generate any roots. But if they need to move them and it's an emergency, then you just dig as wide of a trench as reasonably possible around the root ball, go down a foot and just undercut and then move those roses. And then in the spring, I would cut them back to probably shin height and then just let them regenerate.
All right. We have that a minute before we need to take a break. I'm going to squeeze in Bart here. Good morning, Bart. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Hey, many years ago, that Adrian Hinton down there in St. George taught me a lesson about cotton. I put a demonstration into the state fair, something in a container, and I planted cotton, and I didn't know what it was. It's a beautiful plant. I grew it this year, and because of the heat, it's the balls have all popped open. And before that, the season wasn't long enough, but Adrian identified it as Delta Pine short staple, so I'm glad Adrian's still down there in St. George. He used to have a radio program call in like this down in St. George when he was an extension agent down there.
Okay, Bart, we got to take a break here quick. So what's your comment on the Roma tomatoes this morning?
Okay, I grew that Roma super sauce. I didn't like it. It tasted great and everything, but they were too hard to get in a bottle. They were so big. I grew Roma VF, which went in the bottle better and stayed whole and were just as good in quality, but you could get a lot more of them in a bottle. You could only get 2 in a quart bottle.
Okay, so you gave Adrian a quick compliment, and then you had to tell him that he's wrong on the tomatoes, right?
No, he's right if you like to smash them to go in, but I like them whole, and they're so big you can't get them in a quart bottle.
Good to know. Bart, thank you so much for your call this morning. And we are coming up on our final segment of the Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you, the final minutes of the program as we make way for pregame of today's BYU football game. But let's get to as many of your questions as possible.
We should bring up really quick, BYU football has had a lot of early start times over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and there may be a few more coming.
There is one to
There's
next
been,
week.
It's been out of the ordinary, but KSL has always been a news and BYU sports station. And when that happens, the Greenhouse Show is occasionally preempted. And it's just been a coincidence this fall that there's been a ton of early start times.
Right. So, usually, you know, there's one or two and they're scattered through the season. And for some reason, the beginning of the season, they've been early games.
Yeah, Dave's been holding up his finger for two. There's been like 30, Dave. Come on now. But so the listeners were still here. This program will still move forward. It's just that the early start time, sometimes that's dictated by ABC or ESPN. You know, we're doing a little bit more coverage on the Cougars. They're having a great season, but we're not going anywhere.
We're here for you. We promise. Check us out on Facebook and our YouTube channel as well if you're really missing us next Saturday. I think we'll be here for part of the morning, but I'm not certain yet what the schedule will be. Back to the chickens. The guy who had the question about the chickens, it could be a gal, I don't know, says, is it okay or helpful to add the chicken droppings to a compost pile?
It's fine. You know, you need to monitor for salt content. And the big worry when you add manures, especially poultry manures, is that they can be really high in salt. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm using compost from those, especially if they're homebrew, I am cautious about putting down a full 3 inches in the fall and especially the spring. And I might use an inch, maybe an inch and a half, and then try to put leaves or grass clippings or something to dilute them down a little bit. They're fine, but you just need to be a little bit careful.
All right. Spencer in Linden has had a problem with the new trees being damaged by deer rubbing their antlers and stripping some of the bark. He says, how do I know if there's too much bark rubbed off, and is there anything that I can do to wrap the trees with something to help them not die?
The cheapest thing to do to save the trees, looking at it long term, is if you have an area that you're orchard and have deer problems, is just go get some 2x6s or some ponderosa or some fence poles and put up an 8 to 10 foot high fence. It doesn't need to be expensive, but get some fencing, some hog wire, whatever it is, and just surround your garden and orchard area with it to keep the deer out. Put in a gate so that you can get in and out of there. You can try repellents and things and they will help, but if they get washed off or you miss an application, then you're back to start. And so a lot of the repellents will have predator urine, egg extracts, hot sauce type stuff in them, capsaicin, and they do help, but you just need to be regular. But as far as the trees themselves, no, there's not really anything you can wrap them with.
Oh, I feel for them. Is it too late to transplant a tree that is, it's a flowering crabapple tree?
It's a little early. So I would let the leaves drop. Okay. When the leaves drop, if it was planted recently, just dig it up and pull it out of the ground. If it's been there for a while, they're going to need to make a good 2 foot wide root ball. It's going to be heavy, but go down, a foot to 18 inches and undercut, and then try to keep as much of that soil intact as possible and move it to its new home.
Okay, let's take a call from Reed in Kaysville. Good morning, Reed. What is your question?
I have a couple of apple trees, and I tried to spray them according to the Utah State pest control guidelines, and I ended up with about two-thirds of them that had insect damage, and I'm just trying to figure out what I did wrong so I don't have the same problem next year or the year after.
So did you use the organic recommendations, standard recommendations?
Okay, so what I'm sp- spraying them with? I'm spraying with a Fruit Tree and Plant Guard by Bonide.
What's the active ingredient in it?
It's
Lambda Cyhalothrin. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I sprayed that on the date that they said to start spraying them, and then it says to spray on the bottle. It says to spray them every 21 days. And
we're running really short on time, so I'm going to jump in here. I apologize. So I would rotate those. The pyrethroids are ones that the insects develop resistance to very quickly. And so I would rotate that with different fruit tree sprays, maybe use that on your first and then rotate over. And then I would make sure and thin those apples. If the apples aren't thinned, then you will still get the pests in them because where they touch, you don't get any spray. Mm-hmm. And that's where the insect likes to lay eggs. So there's those two principles there. And then if you have worms, it's usually user error and not the product or the recommendations.
Okay, we're going to have to break. I'm sorry. That's it for the KSL Greenhouse. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll be back with you next week.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.